can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Taylor, hey, it's me, Trevor. I'm outside the concert, wondering where you're at. I think I'm in the right spot, and I think it's already started, and I was... Hello? Hello?
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Hey, your voicemail cut me off. So what I was saying was I'm outside.
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Okay, I'll talk faster for whatever reason.
On the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Funniest thing, it keeps cutting me off.
God! Can't get on the phone right now.
Maybe
I just don't want to.
You're killing me!
Maybe I just don't want to.
Hey, I'll talk really, really fast because for whatever reason, your little voicemail message thingy keeps cutting me off. Maybe it's because you have a cheap phone. Yeah, I said it. Hey, look, I see the writing on the wall. I am here, you invited me, and I'm standing out here like some dork waiting for you, huh? I got stood up by a buddy. What is that about? This is so you. This is so high school all over again. You get some more important friends, and me, I'm left like some chump. You have bad breath. Has anyone in your life ever told you that? It stinks, and you will not have me, Mr. Trevor, to kick around anymore. Do you hear me? No more, bro!
Mailbox is full.
Full of that.
Hey, I'm sorry I'm late. I tried to call you, but my phone's jacked up. Anyway, the reason I'm late is I ran into this guy who was selling his tickets. You're gonna love this, okay? Get this, box seats, all you can eat food, the best seats in the house. And the best part, my treat. I mean, think about it. You're my best buddy, right? I mean, what better way to say thank you than these?
Hang on, I was expecting a call. Just take a minute. Oh, it's a message from you. And another one. And another one.
I'm thinking their relationship might need a reboot. Even the best of friends at times can get wires crossed, and even the most solid relationship can always get better. And so that's why for the next couple of weeks, we want to take a look at our relationships, whether they're doing great or whether indeed they sort of need a fresh start. They do need a reboot. But how can we make them better? We look at our relationship with God, and using that as our model, as our example, then that's how our relationship should be with one another. We start out today with the basic building block of any relationship, and that's communication. If you don't have good communication, I dare say you do not have a good relationship. So we look at how has God communicated to us? How has He delivered over His message of grace and love and forgiveness? And then we can learn from that what are the best ways for us then to communicate with one another. Now, obviously, in the short time that we have, we can't cover all the stuff that's involved in communication. So I've just pulled out three tidbits that I think help us to have a better communication strategy with those people who are important to us. The first one is to be present, to be clear, and then to be consistent. To be present really is the backbone of the whole thing. That is to be engaged in the conversation with the other person. And it's quite complex, really, to make sure that you're truly present, that you're truly engaged when you're talking to another individual. So, for instance, you need to be physically present. I contend that if you're going to have a good conversation, if it's going to be quality communication, it has to be face-to-face. Today, there's all kinds of ways we can communicate. All kinds of electronic means that we can use. But if you're going to have a deep, meaningful conversation, it has to be in person. Let's take a look at God. What has God done? So God communicates with us. God communicated through his prophets. At times, he communicated through dreams and visions. But when it finally came down to it, and the message was to be delivered, God himself came to us. The Son of God, Jesus, came and he lived among us and he delivered the message of his salvation so that we wouldn't miss it. And even during his earthly life, there were times that the Father in heaven would interject himself to make sure we got the message. So at his baptism, or as we read a few moments ago, at his transfiguration, the clouds part, the Father says, "That's my boy. You listen to him. Everything that he's done, I'm happy with him." Good communication means you have to be physically present. Email, Facebook, text messages, Twitter, Instagram, and a whole bunch of other things that I don't know and understand. They all have their place, but they all fall short because it's just text. It doesn't convey emotion. It doesn't convey the tone of voice. Hey, let me ask this. How many of you have sent an email or a text or some form of electronic communication? You meant one thing, and they took it in a completely different direction. How many of you have done that, right? See, that's got to be 80% of us, right? We innocently popped down a text or an email, thought it meant one thing, and the other person took it completely wrong. That's because you can't convey enough. Electronic, it's good for facts and figures, right? Be home by 6. Pick up bread and milk, right? Works well for that. But anything deeper, it simply doesn't work. You've got to be physically present, face to face. They say that over 90% of communication is nonverbal. It's the tone of your voice. It's the expression on your face. It's your body language. It's your emotional attitude. All of that is nonverbal, but it's part of the communication. The only way you pick that up is if you're physically present. But being physically present isn't enough. You also have to be mentally present. In other words, you can be in the room and still not be present. Right? You can be sitting across the table from another person and still not be present. I'll tell you, if the TV's on, you're not having good communication. If you're looking at your phone or your tablet or your laptop, you're not having good communication. If you go on old school and you got the newspaper open, right? You're not having communication. These are things that are taking your attention away from the other person, and you're focusing on something else. In fact, it doesn't even have to be a distraction like some electronic device. You can be physically present and still not be mentally present because you see the other person's mouth moving and you hear words that are coming out of it, but meanwhile, in your head, you're thinking, you know, I think I could improve my swing if I just made a small adjustment. We're having steak tonight, aren't we? I think I better pick up bread and some eggs for that too, right? So we're thinking about a whole host of other things instead of focusing in on what the other person is saying. Or if we're not thinking about work or golf or what's for dinner, then we're thinking about how we're going to respond. Every one of us is guilty of this. Don't try and hide it. You listen for the first couple minutes. You pick up a tidbit or two. You complete their thought for them so you know what they're going to say. And now you start formulating your response. If you're attacked, you're filling up your defense, right? If not, you're deciding what information they want back from you, and you miss. You miss the rest of what they say because you're not listening. You're saying, this sounds like hard work. It is. It is. Listening, truly listening to another person is hard work because you're listening with your ears to hear the words and the tone. You're listening with your eyes to see the body language. You're listening with your heart to find where's the emotions at in all of this, because that's where all the communication happens. You got to be physically present. You got to be mentally present. And you got to be emotionally present. What I mean by emotionally present is, one, you got to know, so what's going on with them, but I'll say more importantly, what's going on with you? What baggage have you brought into the conversation? Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling stressed? Are you feeling angry? Are you feeling sorrowful? What's going on inside of you that's going to slant how you receive their information? Right. Let's turn to St. Paul, see what he says. So Ephesians chapter 4, he says something which I think is startling. He says, be angry. Well, I didn't think we're supposed to be angry. No, he says, be angry, but don't sin, and don't let the sun go down in your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. You see, St. Paul knows, as you and I know, that we are emotional beings, and we have a whole range of emotions, and we do get angry. But he says, in your anger, don't sin. In other words, don't let the anger turn into some sinful behavior. Recognize the anger, right? Don't take your emotions and mask them over. Or the worst thing you can do is take your emotions and stuff them down inside of you, because the moment you stuff your emotions down inside of you, you have given the devil a foothold. So let's take anger. So you don't want anyone to know your anger, so you stuff it down inside. Pretty soon the anger turns to resentment. And then pretty soon resentment turns to bitterness, and you're following the rabbit hole down, and you're getting further and further away. Don't let the devil get a foothold. Be emotionally present, cognizant of your own emotions, and don't assume that the other person knows how you're feeling. You need to tell them. They come up, they want to have a serious conversation. You know what? I am really stressed because of work right now. Let's find another time. Or I'm really angry with you at this moment, so I don't think this is going to be a productive time. Do not assume that they know what emotions are going on. An example. So I have four daughters. When all four of them were living at home, I had four girls and a wife. Yeah. So I'd walk in the room, and they'd all be in tears. And I'm thinking somebody died, right? Oh, no, what's wrong? Why are you so sad? We're not sad. We're just so happy. You're happy? You're crying. I don't get it. I don't understand. You see, you got to tell the other person what's going on, what emotions are happening. Even Jesus did with his disciples. Jesus, as he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, he knows that night he's going to get arrested. He literally has the weight of the world on his shoulders. He knows the next day he's going to be crucified. So listen to what he says to his disciples. He says, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Do you see the honesty, the vulnerability of Jesus? He didn't want the disciples to misinterpret what was happening. So he let them know, I got deep sorrow in my heart. Feels like I'm dying inside. Now they'd receive whatever he had to say. They'd filter it through that because he was emotionally present. You've got to be present for communication, physically present, mentally present, emotionally present. And then be clear. Whatever it is that you're trying to communicate to another person, be clear. I'm not sure why, but don't cloud the message, because we do that a lot. We talk all around a subject, and we cloud what is the point that we're actually trying to make. Now sometimes we do that because, well, first of all, it's just self-preservation. Maybe we have to sort of admit something that we've done, and we don't like that, so we'd like to make ourselves not look quite so bad. So we put all kinds of language around it. Or maybe what we're going to say to the other person isn't the nicest thing. We're not sure how they're going to receive it, so we want to soften the blow a little bit, right? But we put so much language around it, they could easily miss, what's the point? What is it that you're trying to say to me here? Now, there's a saying that I heard many years ago, and I, for the most part, kind of agree with it, and that is, nothing matters except after the but. Right? So when you're saying something, they're talk, but, oh, now here's the real message that's going to come in, right? I love your landscaping. Wow, have you did a fantastic job with your lot, but your one tree is dumping all kinds of garbage in my lawn, right? Honey, you're a wonderful cook. You know, I think you even surpassed your mother. Whew, you are fantastic, but maybe, perhaps, you might want to consider never making that dish again. Right? Nothing matters till after the but, right? be clear. Be clear. Don't be mean. Don't be vindictive, right? But don't let the message get lost. Be clear what the message is. Be truthful, right? Be clear and be truthful. Don't try and massage it down, right? You speak the truth, but you speak it in love. Let's go back to St. Paul in his letter to Ephesus. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let's get rid of that, no lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This is a person you're in a relationship with. They care about you, you care about them. Be honest with them. Be truthful with them. I know sometimes we have the best intentions. We think, well, I won't tell them everything because it'll hurt their feelings. Yeah, how often has that worked out for you? It's never worked out for me, right? Be truthful and speak the truth in love, and that's always the best way. Let's go to Jesus. Jesus as an example. His message when he came was very simple and it was very clear. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. Well, right out of the chute, repent. That's a convicting word. Repent means you're doing something wrong. Repent means you got to change your ways and you got to go in the opposite direction. But he doesn't say it vindictively. He doesn't say it to fill you with guilt. He says repent so that he can open up the door to say the kingdom of heaven is near. Salvation and forgiveness is right around the corner because that's why I've come into the world. But he spoke the truth, but he spoke it in love. So be clear, be truthful, and then be consistent. Be consistent in your message. In other words, don't send false signals. So there are different mediums, but the same message. There's different ways that you can communicate something, but it's always the same message. Take God communicating with us. We have the written word, the inspired word of God that reveals to us everything that we need to know. It reveals a God who is just and righteous, but also is merciful. It reveals a God that will not tolerate sin, and also a God that sends his Son to take the punishment for sin. It reveals the salvation that we have in Jesus. We have the written word. We have the living word, Jesus himself coming and living among us and revealing himself to us. We have the visible word, that is the sacraments, whether it's the waters of baptism or it's the bread and wine of communion. But we have something we can see, feel, touch, smell, and taste of God's forgiveness and love. It's the same message, just different mediums. How many different ways can you tell somebody you care about that you love them? You can express it with words. You can express it with actions, with attitude, with gifts. There's any number of ways, but don't send mixed signals. Different mediums, one message. So for instance, let's say for the person that you care about, that punctuality is very important to them. So 10 minutes early is on time. For you, 10 minutes late and you're doing well. Okay? Because you love that individual, you make forth the extra effort and maybe you get there 5 minutes early. It doesn't come naturally to you, but you want to convey that you love that person and you respect that person. So it's the same message, just different methods. And then the message needs to be repeated. If you really want something to sink in, there has to be some repetition. You've probably heard about the couple. They were married 30 plus years, and she finally said to her husband, she says, well, why do you never tell me that you love me? And his reply was, I told you on our wedding day, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Not a good strategy. Some things bear repeating. Let's go back to the Bible. How many times in the Old Testament does God remind his people that he rescued them from the Egyptians and delivered them over into the Promised Land? How many times in the New Testament does Jesus talk about the kingdom of heaven? How many times does he mention the fact about his death and his resurrection, right? Again and again, because it's a message that needs to be repeated. What messages need to be repeated to those that you care about? What do you need to tell them again and again and again so that they would never forget and they would never doubt it? Good communication calls for repetition. Every relationship needs communication, good communication. Some of your relationships may need a reboot. Others, they're going fine, but you want to strengthen them and make them even better. Our relationship with God, it's built on good communication of God delivering his message over to us. And I believe that we can learn for us. Be present, be clear, be consistent. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, you communicated loudly and clearly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, of your love and grace for us and the salvation that we have in your Son, Jesus. We pray that through the gift of your Holy Spirit, that you would enlighten us, you would strengthen us, you would embolden us to work at all of our relationships. And specifically this morning, we ask that we would communicate well with those that are near and dear to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. At this time, we have an opportunity to respond back to God and his goodness and his message of love, and we do so through our offerings and gifts.